Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today as we face the issues. We welcome you on board. Looking forward to your call-in, dialogue, and discussion on a very serious issue that we'll be discussing today. We'll be talking about every vote counts. We're in the very last lap, if you will, before the grand election day on November the 3rd. So I pray that you have already voted or that you are prepared to vote. And I pray that you've given prayer for consideration as to the ballot initiatives and items that you need to vote for, and more particularly, the lead on your ballot, which is the presidential election. Perhaps one of the most seminal elections in our lifetime, the most important for the history of America and the future legacy of America and what we will leave behind for our children, our grandchildren, and those that follow. Whether or not it will be a constitutional republic or a dominated by dictatorial, single party, communist, Marxist, BLM, democratic, socialist, whether or not that will be the type of government we'll leave behind as a legacy, is all dependent upon your vote. Your vote, individual vote, a single vote could make the difference in this election. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the truth book. In John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said, "I am truth." Then he further, that's in John 14, 6, and then in John 17, 17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God that ought to mandate and motivate in our lives what God would have us to do, especially when it comes to the election process. Let me share with you once again that very seminal verse that I believe sets the stage for what we ought to do in this election process. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, God's word says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all of the people able men such as fear God, men of faith, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens." That gives God's election guide very clear prominence as to what we ought to do in this election and making the choice and the decision for the one in particular that will lead our nation as president. Jesus said in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God that ought to mean something in your life and in mine. It was the secularist George Orwell many years ago that made a profound statement. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we're finding that to be more and more relevant in the society in which we're living today. There's a disdain, a repulsion, a rejection, an out-and-out hatred for those of us that take a stand for truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a powerful statement that ought to effectuate change in direction in the life of each of us as we serve the Lord. John Huss said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And that ought to be our mantra, our mandate, our manner of life, is that we're willing to seek the truth. By the way, you won't find that on the Communist Network News, MSNBC, or ABC, or CBS. You won't find truth when it comes to news. I find it disconcerting, by the way. I get up early every morning and try to gather as much latest news as possible. I roll the dial, and I'm finding that we have very, very little pertinent news on the broadcast stations, especially news that would concern us, that news that we ought to be hearing and understand. For example, with the Joe and Hunter Biden fiasco with the selling of influence into the White House and what that means in relationship to this election. And yet, all of the network news, with the exception of Fox, as of day before yesterday, the statistics were gathered, and all of the network news combined had barely over 2 minutes, reference to the Hunter, Joe and Hunter Biden fiasco of selling influence. And yet that is pertinent to this election. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I believe there's coming a day before the rapture of the church where Christians, we as Christians, will face real, real persecution and even the potentiality of death if we stand for the truth, especially the truth of the Word of God and what God's Word tells us that we ought to do and how we should live. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowners as Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about landscape equipment for the homeowner and for the professional. They have a full knowledgeable staff that can answer your questions about hurricane preparedness equipment and what is needed in that emergency. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's the home of Tools for Time. It's located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole flying about 165 feet there. You find that flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about one vote counts, it is imperative for us to understand that each and every vote is important in this election cycle, perhaps more important than any other time in the history of the United States of America, that we need to be concerned about what is taking place and why it is taking place and what we need to do as citizens in relationship to that. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there is an attempt in the marketplace today to destroy this election and to buy this election and to, in some manner, sway this election against President Donald J. Trump. We need to recognize that it's the enemies of God. In fact, I say it's a demonic effort to try to destroy this election. There's an attempt to buy the election, and there's much that's taking place today in relationship to that. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you recall in the 2016 election, perhaps you recall the fact that 31 million Christians did not vote in the 2016 election, did not vote. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth, Christian values, morals and ethics and values that we find in the scripture, to not cast a ballot. Yes, I understand that we're citizens, heavenly citizens passing through this world, but our citizenship is dual. We have a citizenship here on earth in the physicality. We have a citizenship in heaven. And that citizenship on earth says it would be salt and light. That means it would participate and take part in that which preserves the morals and ethics and the values, as I've called it, the faith, the family, and the freedom that we have. It's our responsibility to cast a ballot and preserve that. Perhaps you recall, by the way, that's written, I'm saying that every vote counts. Perhaps you recall that back a few years ago here in the state of Florida, Jay Fant was elected to the House of Representatives. Jay won the election by 2 votes. You've heard me say it perhaps before. I sat in his office with my wife. We're having coffee and donuts with him on the morning that he was to be sworn in. And we said, Jay, you realize that our votes put you in office. And he kind of laughed and he said, I've been told that by hundreds of people. But in reality, those hundreds of people, the thousands, whatever it may be, that voted for him, their votes counted. Their votes made a difference. And so every vote counts. Every vote counts. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war. And this war is for the battle of the foundation of our nation. The very foundation is at stake. In fact, in Psalms chapter 11 and verse 3, the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We find it is imperative that we recognize that the very foundation of our nation is in the balance. It is on the ballot, ladies and gentlemen. It is on the ballot. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast of what a vote for President Donald J. Trump stands for and what it does. But in Psalms 33 and verse 12, the scripture says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we also find in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We must understand that we find our nation, it's a battle for the very foundation. The battle is for the soul of America. And although we may not recognize it firsthand, we need to look back in history and find what takes place when a nation forgets God, when a nation turns their back on God. Look at the nation of Israel. Israel will go into captivity as a result of turning their backs on God. They would pray, cry out to God, and seek God. God would release them, and for a short period of time, they would serve God and honor God. And I'm caused to remember 9/11. And shortly after 9/11, you could drive the expressways across America, and you'd find gigantic signs that pray for America, pray for America, turn back to God, etc. But that lasted about 90 days. We forgot, ladies and gentlemen, what that was like. And I think that we fail to recognize in history past what it would be like if we have a president that does not recognize God. Yes, he says he's a Catholic. Yes, he says he's a religious person, a spiritual person. There's no evidence of that. In fact, I've written an article recently about that, and I talk about seven reasons that Joe Biden is disqualified to be president of the United States of America. And those seven reasons I point out very, very clearly, ladies and gentlemen, he is disqualified to be president morally. He's disqualified to be president spiritually. He's disqualified to be president ethically. He's disqualified to be president economically, politically, and constitutionally, and cognitively. Joe Biden is disqualified to be the president of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. You can join in the dialogue and discussion today by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directed through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comments, your dialogue and discussion in relationship to Joe Biden's presidency and what that would mean. Ladies and gentlemen, we recognize today that the vote for the president, for Donald Trump, listen carefully. And we'll say these few things in the final wrap-up of the monologue before we introduce our very special guest today. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we are faced with a dilemma if we put Joe Biden in as president. May I remind us, as we vote for President Donald J. Trump, we're voting not for the man. We're voting, ladies and gentlemen, for our First Amendment right, for the freedom of religion. The citizens' liberty to worship is what we're voting for. We have today, we have our churches open because of religious liberties. Multitude of churches are still closed across America because of the non-recognition of the First Amendment rights in some of the blue states and blue cities where governors and mayors with their dictatorial executive orders continue to tout their position of authority over the church. We're voting for our Second Amendment right when we vote for Donald Trump. We're voting for the right of self-defense, which is granted by God, codified in the Bill of Rights, confirmed by the Supreme Courts. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, if we do not understand that clearly and recognize that definitively, we could lose our Second Amendment right. In fact, it's Kamala Harris that is part of the team, with the Biden-Harris team. She said, if elected, you don't surrender your guns, I'll sign an executive order, and police, the police will show up at your door and confiscate your weapons. That's Kamala Harris. That's her position. That's Joe Biden's position. So when we vote for Donald J. Trump, we're voting for our religious liberties. We're voting for our First Amendment right. We're voting for our Second Amendment right, the right to self-defense, to keep and bear arms. We're voting for, ladies and gentlemen, the right to live as free people and not as subjects. It's the reason I've said so often that with this masquerade that we've had across America where there's the intimidation by government to wear a mask, it is making people sheeple and not allowing us to be we the people to take a stand on what God would have us to do and to be the free people. We're voting for our flag and the republic for which it stands, a vote for President Trump. Our flag and that which it stands for, ladies and gentlemen, we're voting for the right of life for the unborn. Joe Biden has said that he will make abortion on demand, even at birth, all at taxpayers' expense. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that's any more antithetical to what ought to be the stand for Christians to say no to murder by way of abortion. It is the right to life that we need to be standing for and the recognition, ladies and gentlemen, of that right to life. It is a horrific thought, but yet there's a number of folks today, ladies and gentlemen, that claim to be evangelicals who support Joe Biden. This is what this article says. They may be believers who make a personal secular choice, but they can't really call themselves evangelicals if they support pro-abortion Joe Biden. And yet we have those that are claiming somehow, some way to have a relationship to God through Jesus Christ, and yet they believe that murder is okay, and so they stand with the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party. It's antithetical to the scripture, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be talking about the need for the vote and the ballot. We're going to be talking about today ballot harvesting and the theft of the votes and what that means. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a gentleman that is with us today. We'll be talking about these facts and others. The foundation of our great nation, ladies and gentlemen, is in the very hands of we the people as we cast our ballots. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we have Ken Timmerman that's going to be on board with us talking about it. Let's do a little introduction for Ken before we give him the mic. Ladies and gentlemen, Ken is the author and the founder of the Republican Congressional nominee. He is an author. He has written the book, The Election Heist, and he, as I understand it, he'll talk about that in the introductory portion of this broadcast with Talking with Ken, but it was written and published before all of this fiasco took place with COVID-19 and the shutdown of America. Ken's latest book, The Election Heist, he talks about the mail-in ballots, ballot harvesting, and how this election can be stolen. Ken served on the National Security and Foreign Policy Advisory Board for the Trump for President 2016. Ken is President and CEO of the Foundation for Democracy. Ken is a Nobel Peace Prize nominee in 2016. From 2004 to 2011, Ken was the lead outside investigator for a consortium of law firms representing the families of 9/11 victims. Ken was a young reporter in 1982 when he was taken hostage by the Palestinian fighters in West Beirut. It was there, ladies and gentlemen, that Ken found the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born again, saved. So, Ken, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. It's a delight to have you on board with us for this broadcast as we talk about one vote counts, or every vote counts.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor, and boy, are you ever right. Every single vote counts, folks. Early voting has started in Florida. I voted yesterday with my wife in Nassau County, and the lines in the middle of a rainstorm. It was wonderful.
I've said to people, Ken, if it's raining, put on a raincoat and stand out the line. If it's cold, put on a top coat, stand out the line. If there's 500 people in the line, you have to stand there for 2 hours, wait 2 hours. That vote, that one vote, is worth that wait. It's worth that getting wet. It's worth that being cold, whatever it may be. Vote.
It really is, and as you said so eloquently in your introduction, it's our freedom that's at stake. It's our way of life that's at stake. It's our nation that's at stake. And if you don't care enough about your nation to go out and vote, then, you know, well, words fail me. I think it's just so fundamental. People have died to give us this right, to preserve this right to vote, to preserve our rights that we've gotten, the rights that we, endowed to us by our Creator. People have died to preserve those. We need to go out and exercise those rights so we can keep them.
Absolutely. Ken, you touched on that, and it prompts me to think on this. One of the things that I think, and this is not trying to look at a negative view of it, but one of the things I believe that is so harmful for our fundamental foundation of America and the lack of, to a great deal, a lack of interest in or a seriousness about every vote counting is that for so long we have had the communist Marxist professors in our universities and colleges teaching that teach that America's bad, it ought to be eviscerated, America's a bad place, a bad people, founded on a bad premise, etc. And so we have millions today, especially in the millennial age group, 18 to 35-year-old age group, that they think that America is bad. They've been told that socialism is good. So therefore, this is the reason we find that number so high that followed Bernie Sanders when he was a candidate and is now following the Bernie Sanders agenda that's being carried out through Joe Biden and Kamala Harris with what they want to do for America. Do you find that to be the potential of fact or fiction as to the rationale behind what we see in the voting today?
Oh, you're absolutely correct about that. And I believe after this election, we have many, many years to reclaim the culture in this country. And it has to start by forcing universities that are publicly funded, and an awful lot of them do receive public funds, to open their doors to conservative thought leaders. You know, for many years, they have literally forbade speakers from conservative organizations on university campuses. And we have to thank Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA for forcing many of these universities to turn around. Charlie went to President Trump. He's been working with the Trump campaign of the past 4 years, and he described to him what's been happening on campuses, where he would be invited by a conservative group on a college campus, and he'd get there, and the college president would say, "Well, sorry, you can't speak because it could provoke a riot. We can't protect you." And so he went to the president. And the president then signed an executive order requiring colleges to allow conservative speech on campus or lose their public funding, the funding from you and me, the American taxpayer. Now, this sounds like something that's hard to believe. It sounds like something out of a dystopian novel. But that's where we have gotten today in the United States of America. It has become heretical, dangerous to speak about your faith, to speak about conservative values on college campuses, and that's something we do have to turn around, and something that's going to take many years to turn around.
Exactly right, and I'm caused to be reminded of a statement made in Decision Magazine, October, the issue by Franklin Graham, and I'm going to insert this in our thought process, reading two brief paragraphs from Franklin Graham. "Thankfully, under our current administration, our religious liberties have been protected and preserved through a number of executive orders and the appointment of conservative judges and justices. Through executive actions, the right to life for the unborn and the freedom for the Christian organizations and professionals to practice according to their sincerely held religious beliefs have been advanced and upheld. However, as the 2020 election draws near, I have a dire warning for Christians. This wonderful season of progress for the cause of religious freedom and the moral and biblical values we hold so dear could quickly and perhaps even permanently be reversed. Voters are choosing between two polar opposite visions for America, one that threatens to send our country spiraling down the dangerous road of socialism and one that promises to uphold the constitutional freedoms our nation is built upon while making America the envy of the world." End quote. Franklin Graham, 2020 issue of Decision Magazine. That's exactly what you were just stating so clearly, that it is a fact that we have watched the evisceration of our liberties and our freedoms, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religious worship, liberties of worship. We've watched those being absolutely eviscerated in the nation. And this is the reason I say that this vote for this election, for this president, is the most crucial, seminal vote, and I believe the history of the United States of America. Ken, I am delighted that you can be with us today. Tell our listeners, first of all, about a little bit about your book and the reason for the election heist and what the book is about and whether or not this was written after the fact of what we're seeing. Or was this pre-written prior to this? And how does it play into what we're literally seeing?
Well, the election heist I wrote as a warning to voters, to my fellow citizens, that we could very easily wake up the day after the election and find that somebody else was elected president other than the person we thought had won on election night. And it's a fiction, but as I like to say, it's a fiction, but it's not a fantasy. It's based on a lot of hard research, and it was completed, Pastor, in February of this year. And there are scenes in the book that then took place, such as Antifa going on the rampage down Fifth Avenue. That happened 3 months after the book was written and sent off to the publisher and getting ready to be typeset. And there are a lot of things. I believe that there will be chaos around the election. That I've written into the election heist as part of the scenario. I think the Democrats are going to do whatever it takes. That is their slogan, to steal the government of our country from us. They will do whatever it takes, whether it's setting fire to ballot boxes, which they did just this past week in California, or extending the delay for counting the votes, which is something that they've tried to do in multiple states around the United States. And by the way, kudos to the Republican Party and to the president. They're waking up to these things. They have been suing the Democrats in states where they've been extending the delay for counting, and they've won very important victories in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, and other places to make sure that all of these mail-in ballots must be postmarked by Election Day. And by the way, that has been the standard for decades, for decades. If you want to vote absentee, or vote what now they call vote by mail, you had to postmark your ballot. It actually had to be postmarked at the post office by election night, the closing time of the election, 7 p.m. or 8 p.m., depending on where you are, which state. And then it might take two or three, maybe 4 days for it to arrive and be counted. But many of these states wanted to delay up to 17 days and then take away the requirement for a postmark. So in other words, let's say you're in Michigan and Trump is up by 20,000 votes. Well, the Democrats get together all of their minions, including those SEIU government employees, union members who work in the post office, who work at the polls, and they fabricate an extra 25,000 votes. So instead of going for Trump, the state goes for Biden. That is the kind of thing that I warn about in the election heist, and it's the kind of thing I've got to give credit to the GOP. They are fighting this. They are aware of it. They're taking these lessons to heart, and I feel actually quite gratified to see that they're taking these lessons to heart.
You spoke very clearly with that, and I'm looking at an article here, and perhaps you're aware of it. Title of the article says, Democratic Party leaders vow to lie, cheat, and steal to win the election. And the article is about 5 pages. I'll look at one brief paragraph. A Democratic Party leader in California says the 2020 election amounts to a revolution, meaning that lying, cheating, and stealing are all morally acceptable actions if that helps bring about the defeat of President Donald J. Trump in November. Quote, I'm going to do everything morally acceptable to win. I will lie, I will cheat, I will steal, because that's morally acceptable in this political environment. Absolutely. We are pirates on a pirate ship. We want to make this point very loud and clearly, he said. It is before election, and we're going to win this because this is a political revolution, end quote. Ken, we've got about 30 seconds before our top of the hour break for the news. How do you respond to that, and what are some of the points you'd like to make before we take our break for news?
Well, first of all, it's an extraordinary statement, and it shows you what happens when you no longer have an absolute standard of morality. That is what God gave us in the Testament. He gave us that in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And when you get away from that absolute standard of right and wrong, this is what you get into. Anything goes as long as we win politically.
That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're talking with Ken Timmerman. We're talking about every vote counts. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.